Hey, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back together as the church. We celebrated that Wednesday night. I really enjoyed that, being away and then being back together as the body, and then this morning again. Thank you all for making your way out here. Looking through the double doors back there, I'll give you a little insight. I don't see any snow falling at the moment, so we're okay. Complimentary sleigh rides down the mountain out back after the service. Hope you all brought your snow bibs for this afternoon. But thank you all for coming out. And we had wanted to do something last week, but with the weather, concerns about how many would be in attendance, we decided to postpone that to this week, and then we have weather again. But a pretty solid attendance. Thank you again for coming out. And the leadership team at Johnston Chapel felt led to set aside this particular Sunday for some vision casting for the future. A biblical vision is seeing what God wants us to see. Okay, seeing what God wants us to see. And He sees all things. He sees all things perfectly well. Our vision is limited. It's very limited. But on occasion, God allows us to see what He sees for His purposes and for His glory. Like the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha prays that the eyes of his servant would be opened. Up to that point, all Elisha's servant could see was the surrounding enemy army. And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." And right then, the young man saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. And God allowed the young man to see what God sees, the angel army protecting Elisha and protecting him. The vision that we're presenting to you this morning is something that we've been praying about, bathed in prayer for many, many months now. This is not something new. This is something we've been praying about for a long time, and something we've really been filtering through Scripture and taking before the Lord very regularly. And both at the deacon board level and also at the Summit Christian Academy board level as well. This vision we're going to present, and we'll get to it. I know you guys want to jump to the end first and kind of build it up here slowly so everybody's in understanding of what we're doing, but has the unanimous support of each board member, heartfelt support. And we believe we're seeing what God wants us to see as a church and as a school, and we want to help you to see that this morning as well. And we want to give you the same opportunity we've had to just kind of bathe it in prayer and filter it through Scripture before we make any significant decision for the future. So we wanted to give you that opportunity, which is why we're setting aside today for this, which was supposed to be last week, leading up towards our business meeting, which is now next week. Okay. If you've been at Johnston Chapel for any length of time, you know our purpose statement, our mission statement by heart, right? Those three words: love, grow, serve. We exist to develop disciples of Jesus Christ who love Him, who grow in Him, and who serve Him. That's our mission. And at the very core of that mission is discipleship. Our church is very much about discipleship. And what Summit Christian Academy provides for us as a church, really as a church ministry, also as a school ministry, is that opportunity to fulfill that mission, that important mission of discipleship. Someone told me yesterday, the church family doesn't always get to see the hustle and bustle of all that's taking place at Summit the other 6 days of the week. We just don't get to see the school in operation on a Sunday morning. But all kinds of activity, all kinds of people involved in the ministry, visiting the ministry here. Before we dig in and get to the vision, I'd like to ask our administrator, school administrator, Dr. Kathy Hawks, if she would come. And we need a little celebrating first, right? God has called us to this endeavor, and God has been blessing this ministry so richly, and Dr. Hawks is going to come and share some of those blessings, some of the things that the Lord has been doing over the last number of months. Kathy, please come.
Good morning. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. So everything that I'm going to talk about today, we need to keep in mind, it's all because of Jesus. Worthy is His name. I am thrilled to share with you today an update on our school, your school, Summit Christian Academy. First, let me thank you for your support on so many different levels and in so many different ways. Your prayers, I know they're endless. You share with me every time I come through the doors that you've been praying for me. Continuous words of encouragement for our students, prayers for our students, cards, the emails you send, the financial support, the hugs, and again, the prayers, the most important. Thank you for your prayers for your school and your students. And to the Summit Board of Directors, to the deacons, to the pastors, thank you for your strong leadership, for your wise counsel, and always seeking God's will as we make decisions. Always seeking God's will. On January the 23rd, almost exactly 1 year ago today, it'll be this week, I received a call from Pastor Dan, which set in motion a series of events which ended with God opening a door that allowed our church to embark on a journey that none of us anticipated, the beginning of a new school. Over the past year, I have seen God work in ways I can't explain. Some of these I've shared with you in previous updates, but most of what I'm going to share right now are new. Over the past year, as we have watched God work, here are some things that I have witnessed and that you have witnessed. We prayed for souls to be saved in our school. We are always praying in our church for souls to be saved. And we know that occasionally one will be saved. Most of the time we're planting seeds. But we wanted to see some harvest at Summit. Just one soul, Lord. Just one. But he didn't give us just one. 6 students have been saved during this year so far. And we have seen spiritual growth in so many more. I don't have time to share the stories that the students have shared with our teachers, with me, and with other students. That was God. I prayed for an enrollment of 100. In April, our enrollment was 79. MCA ended with an enrollment of 119. I prayed, Lord, 100 students. If you could give us 100 students, was that even possible? Would 119 be completely out of the realm? Would that be a miracle? We have 144 as of Friday. Then we were thinking about adding the 5th grade back in the summer, but we were unsure. We looked at the numbers, we anticipated, and we prayed. As we looked at the numbers and made the decision, we said, Lord, if we could have 9 students, that would support the 5th grade. We have 19. Just prior to the start of school, it was made known to us that we were going to have to get a different insurance company. The current company would not be offering a policy for our new school. That was a shock. After a diligent insurance search and many prayers, and lots of sleepless nights by many people, we were able to not only obtain insurance, we were able to obtain it at a lower cost, and we were able to obtain it for both the church and the school, streamlining the insurance, which was beneficial. And as I've shared before, you know that we started the beginning of the year offering West Virginia online public school that would fulfill the HOPE requirement for 45 days in a public school. During the summer, at some point, as we were anticipating and planning, Jim Knopfsinger came to me and he said, do you have enough bandwidth in that school to operate what we had anticipated, 45 students? That had never occurred to any of us. So we started asking questions, and I started planning and going to Jamie and asking Jamie, do we? And so as we began to prepare and discuss, we realized we probably did not. So through many prayers, through diligent searching, through Jamie listening to me cry and pray and whine, we were able to not only get double the bandwidth what we had, we got double the bandwidth at half the cost of what we were paying. Thank you again, Jamie, for being with me through that. Because we were a new school, we had to get a new business license. When looking at the deadline, it didn't look like that was going to happen. There was so much paperwork that had to be filed. Poor Bill Harvey filed paperwork all summer. But with much prayer and with the Lord, the license arrived in time. Because we were a new school, we had to be assigned a new state ID number so that we were eligible to receive the HOPE funds. And of course, the department that oversees HOPE was having computers updated and new portals developed, and they were closed for 2 weeks. And it was in that 2 weeks that our deadline was just after that 2 weeks. We needed that number for our parents in order to have HOPE. Guess what? They opened, we got our number, and we were ready to go. When working with students to meet the requirements of the 45 days in the public school so they could receive the HOPE scholarship, we had anticipated 40 to 45 students. We had 70. We knew not all 70 were going to meet the online requirement, the attendance requirement, that the classroom, it just wasn't going to happen because we had been monitoring closely, and as much as we had encouraged and watched, it was hard for three of us to oversee 70 students being in class live at the same time, different classes, different teachers. It wasn't going to happen, humanly possible, but it did happen. And I would love to have been at the other end of that computer when we hit some of those HOPE scholarships, because it should not have happened. But it did, because our God is great. As I was preparing this update and reflecting and remembering on all that we have been through and all that you have been through and all that you have done to help us get through this, I almost got nauseous thinking about the stress during those days. The only way I can explain how all of this happened is Ephesians 3:20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Think about those words. Exceeding abundantly above. All of the statements that I read were exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even thought. If you would have asked me in August, do you think you're going to have 144 students by the beginning of the year? I would have said there is no possible way. Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. What an amazing God we serve. I know that you keep hearing about the HOPE Scholarship, and like me at first, perhaps you don't know much about it. Pastor Dan and I thought it might be good if we just briefly described a little bit about the HOPE Scholarship and what it means and is. So I want to tell you a little bit about what it is and what it isn't. First, the HOPE Scholarship is not based on family income. The scholarship is the same for every child and every family. This year, the HOPE amount of money received for the full year was just over $4,900 per child. Our tuition was very, very close to that. What HOPE does, it empowers families to make a school choice that is best and most beneficial for your child's educational needs, whether it's a public school homeschool, private school. And it means, hope means that finances will not be an issue if a private school or homeschool or a Montessori school is best for your child. We are not anti-public school. I love the public school. My daughter teaches there. I worked there for 45 years, directly or indirectly. I love the public school. Some of the best people I know work and teach in the public school. It is their mission field. But God has lots of children who don't thrive in the public school, who need more, families who have a different philosophy. And that's where hope comes in. Hope allows every family to make a school choice based on what's best for your child. There is no right or wrong school. It's the one that is best for your child. Hope simply levels the playing field. It makes it financially possible for all families to have an educational option. To receive Hope funds, you just need a couple of things: proof of residency in West Virginia and the completion of that 45 days public school. And again, it is not based on income. Next year, the amount of the Hope Scholarship is equivalent to Summit's tuition. So in other words, children can attend Summit Christian Academy tuition free. There are some other fees that you have to pay, but they're minimal. What an opportunity for our community, for you as a family, and what an opportunity from our Lord. I truly believe that our school will continue to grow. Some other updates that I would like to highlight. Summit has chapel every week, and it continues to be incredible. Let me invite you to a chapel on Thursday. The time varies, but I would love for you to come and watch our students. By the way, have I told you how incredible our students are? Because they are. They're amazing. Chapel is my favorite time because our students play the instruments, they sing, they pray, they control the sound booth and the visuals, and they lead teachers and their peers in worshiping God. It is a precious time. Then we have discipleship discussion groups that meet weekly, and we have rich discussions about how to serve God in our lives daily, right now, not in the future. To bridge achievement gaps, we now offer two tracks for seventh grade students in math and English. Next year, we hope to have two eighth grade classes so that we can add to that age group because we currently have a wait list of five to get into seventh grade. We have monthly professional developments for our teachers. They're half a day. Because what they want to learn more about how to disseminate knowledge and instructional strategies so that we can be academically excellent. We're getting ready to start a book study called Teach Like a Pirate. It's a wonderful book. It's a resource that I have used and found in the last few years. We're going to be starting that next month. They're always seeking ways to be better teachers. What more could you ask? By the way, have I told you how incredible our teachers are and our staff? They're incredible. We have added extracurricular activities that include the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for middle school with approximately 30 students. Thanks to Steve Barrett, who comes weekly and provides a wonderful experience for our students in the Bible, and the kids cannot wait to get there. Our equestrian team won first place at the Lexington Horse Show. Thanks to Carousel Farms for partnering with us to make that happen. Our students, many of them, are leading performers in Bluefield University's theater productions. And by the way, if you've not seen one of those productions, you need to see one. They are spectacular. Our athletic teams, volleyball, cheerleading, golf, soccer, cross-country, basketball, baseball, and track, They're making a real name for themselves in our community. Perhaps you've seen some of the highlights on Facebook. If not, I encourage you, go to Summit Christian Academy's Facebook page and look at what all is going on. Currently, we're in the basketball season and doing great. I invite you to come and watch our teams play. It is so exciting. Many of the teams that I named have won trophies. I don't have time to tell you all of those, but I'm telling you, they're not only amazing on the court and on the field as athletes, but also character, because that's a requirement for our athletes. It is not a right to be an athlete at Summit. It is a privilege. And with that comes responsibilities. And our coaches are so strong in supporting that and helping us with that. Our robotics team meets weekly to design, build, and program robots to compete in challenges. Thanks to Courtney Graykin, who comes weekly to meet with that team. They meet during lunch, so they're not out of instructional time. The same thing with the FCA. We focus on that instructional time. We are a school, so we focus on instruction. We have our first student-led worship night back in the fall. It was a wonderful evening. I wish you could have seen the students in your school up here praising and worshiping Jesus. It was their idea. They organized it. They led it. They participated in it. They have asked to have another one in February. What remarkable young people you have at your school. You are blessed. We've also been a part of several service projects. Our life school class that Ms. Kirsty Huffman teaches, they cooked and served a special luncheon for the DMAs in November. But it wasn't just the life skills class that was involved. The students from other grades greeted, decorated, entertained with music, and cleaned up. The entire school was a part of giving back to our church and learning how to be servants for Jesus. How many of you were at the DMA luncheon? Did you enjoy it? Yeah, it was. We got so much positive feedback. Well, we're having another one in May. So if you missed that one in November, we look forward to seeing you in May. We helped with Heaven Sent Ministry two times, our students did, by packing 150 buckets for victims of Hurricane Helene. We packed shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child, and we had a canned food drive, or just a few of the other things that we've done. We had a phenomenal Christmas program with the attendance of over 400. There was literally standing room only in this auditorium. The students and teachers knocked it out of the park. It hasn't been easy. As a matter of fact, there have been some days that have been quite stressful. Not on just me, but on many folks. But I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, working with these young people, it's been one of the most incredible experiences of my career. I love these students, and I enjoy being with them every day, although they wear me out. I pray for them, and from among them, I pray will come the next Corey Ten Boom, or John King, or Jimmy Jones, or Billy Graham, or Miriam Wheeler, or Dan Thing. I pray that God will call them into His service, regardless of what career they choose, and that they will be spiritually prepared and academically prepared to serve God and will understand the importance of serving Him. Thus, our goal, developing minds to learn, hearts to serve, and souls to cherish Christ. I do not know what the future holds. I do not know what God has planned for our school or for me. And I do not know the mind of God. But I do know this. With God, nothing is impossible. For He does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I will close with a statement that I read last week. The sea could not stop Moses. The wall could not stop Joshua. The giant could not stop David. Death could not stop Jesus. And with God, nothing can stop us. Thank you for being a part of Summit Christian Academy.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for sharing this morning. And God has indeed done far more abundantly than all we could ever ask or think. He's moving in a special way at Summit Christian Academy. And as leadership at the church and school level, we think we should be investing where God is moving. And a little bit of background and history, some biblical teaching here. Education has always been a key aspect of discipleship. If you think about it, God created man in His own image to reason and to think and to learn. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 22:6 reminds parents of the responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go, that even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Even think about Jesus' great commission. Go and make disciples, teaching them, right? Education, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And that calling, that responsibility, that privilege of parents in educating children finds its roots all the way back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6, a passage most of us are familiar with, where Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Right? In Moses' day, it was a little different culture. Children were really always at home or in the fields with their parents, which made this type of round-the-clock discipleship possible and effective. Now, times have changed, right? Parents oftentimes work outside of the home. Children are accustomed to being at school, in the classroom. But God's instructions haven't changed, right? God's truth never changes. We still have the responsibility to educate our children. And here's what I'm getting at. We are more likely to fulfill these biblical instructions when the family, the church, and the school are all pulling in the same direction, right? And we're able to fulfill those, the Great Commission, the Shema, the Deuteronomy 6 passage in Proverbs. Have you ever considered how many days your children will spend in school by the time they graduate? Math's actually not too difficult. I won't test you on it, but 180 days per year, 13 years, so 180 times 13 equals 2,340 days. So what will your child learn in those 2,340 days? I read this on the Answers in Genesis website, very insightful. Your son or daughter will learn biology, grammar, algebra, history, art, physical education, social skills, and many other useful things. But underlying whatever education your child receives is a worldview. A worldview is a lens through which your children will look at the world. It addresses origin, morality, meaning, and destiny. The worldview and the education they absorb becomes the foundation for the rest of their life. Then Answers in Genesis goes on to make this statement so true. Every school is religious, right? Regardless of what kind of school we're talking about, every school is religious, which means every school will ultimately address the foundational areas of origin, morality, meaning, and destiny. This is why it's so important that we learn and teach through a biblical worldview. Now, Kathy made reference to this, but we are very much, as pastoral leadership, as church leadership, in support of parental choice. You look at our pastoral staff, we have children in all three different areas of education. In our region, it's either public school, Christian school, or homeschool. So the pastor's children are involved in all those different aspects, all those different categories of education. We thank God for homeschool teachers. Many of you are gathered here. We thank God for Christian teachers in the public school. As Dr. Hawk said, it's your mission field that God has called you to. Thank you for being faithful to that mission field. We thank God for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We thank God for Bible in the schools. Our church invests deeply in those ministries that impact the public school system. So very much in support of that. But obviously I'm presenting a vision for Summit Christian Academy, which will naturally lead me to talk about the pros of Christian education this morning. So first and foremost, God has given parents the responsibility of educating their children, which means the church exists and the school exists to partner with parents in that endeavor. Now, Johnston Chapel, we are very intentional about the discipleship of our children. A lot of families my age, that's why we're all here, because of the children and youth programs here, that emphasis on discipleship. But we're fooling ourselves if we think 3 hours a week, 3 hours a week at church can compete or counterbalance 35 hours per week of influence at school, right? Which again highlights the importance of what we're trying to do here at Summit. There was a time when most people in our country shared a common perspective. I think we all can recognize things are shifting drastically in our culture. There was a time when lots of people agreed on God, on the Bible, on family and marriage. But again, times are changing. And the public system, especially in this way, please understand me, but at the high levels of policy making and the high levels of influence, are generally opposed to a biblical Christian worldview. But then you go back to Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? Our children cannot rightly understand the world they find themselves in without first rightly understanding the God who created them and the God who created that world. Which again is why I say it's so important that the family, the church, and the school all be pulling in the same direction. That brings us back to our vision for Johnston Chapel, Summit Christian Academy. A couple of things that are happening here, Kathy highlighted some of them. Our students are taught to see the world through the lens of the Bible. Right? That's rare nowadays in education. Jesus is at the very center of the educational experience in this building. And we thank God for that opportunity. We've renewed, as Dr. Hawks highlighted, our commitment to academic excellence. We have a faith-based curriculum, strong emphasis, critical thinking, creativity, problem solving. Our students are encouraged to live out biblical values, integrity, respect, compassion, responsibility. Our campus is safe. Our campus provides a nurturing environment where students can learn without fear. We've got a great community here, a strong community, students, families, staff who share common values. There's community here at Summit Christian. And our teachers aren't just educators, they're disciplers. And I know some of you involved in public education, it's your ministry, you are disciplers as well. Don't misunderstand me. But our teachers here, our staff here, they're disciplers. They're committed to academic excellence and development, but also to spiritual development in our children. And really, the big picture, we want to prepare our students to go out from here and live in lifelong faithfulness to God, effectively engaging the world they find themselves in with truth, not shielding them from it, but teaching them how to engage their world with truth and then serving passionately in the name of the Lord Jesus. We think every child deserves an opportunity for an experience like that. We really do, whether that's in Mercer County or Summers or Monroe or McDowell. We believe God will continue to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. So the vision we're setting before you today is an expansion of Summit Christian Academy to include kindergarten through 12th grade. This is an unprecedented opportunity to maximize our disciple-making mission. I'm not using that word loosely, right? Unprecedented. How is it unprecedented? Let me give you two reasons. Two things are happening right now that make this unprecedented, where we've never had this opportunity before. The first thing is the Hope Scholarship. The Hope Scholarship makes it possible for every family in our county and surrounding counties to be a part of Summit Christian Academy, tuition-free, regardless of their income. Our families in our region have never had that opportunity. This is something new. This is unprecedented. The second thing is this. Summit Board has adopted an open enrollment policy. So you go years back, Mercer Christian Academy required parents of children who enrolled to be part of, to be members of, a local church. We see Summit as a means of engaging unchurched families in our region. Don't misunderstand me here either. We will always be distinctively and unashamedly Christian, right? We will always be. We will never move, never shift on our doctrine or our standards. You all know us well enough. You know this church well enough for that to be true. But we also believe that as a church, this is our heart, this is our mission. As a school, we want everyone in our community, everyone in our region, to hear about the Lord Jesus, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see these new opportunities as a means for that to happen in our community through our school. I want to share an observation of one of our deacons. He said this, Johnston Chapel is a multi-generational church, but we're an aging multi-generational church. Okay? I'm putting myself in that demographic of the aging, so I'm right there with you. You know, the church really did grow leaps and bounds when Amy and I were young, when we had babies, right? And we want to see young families attracted to our church ministry. We believe the addition of an elementary at Summit will attract young families to our church. We're already seeing fruit from that in our middle school and our high school. Our youth ministry has grown significantly this year. I think I heard the number of 60-something this past week. So we have youth coming from Summit to our youth ministry, which is fantastic. We have several young families beginning to invest in the life of our church as well. So we're already seeing fruit from that. And I know what some of you may be thinking right now. You said back in March we wouldn't be starting an elementary school. And you're right. You're right. We did say that. But I want to clarify something. We originally proposed, going back to that time period, we proposed to Maranatha Baptist Church that they oversee the elementary school and we would oversee the middle school and high school. We would operate as two separate schools, an elementary and a middle school and high school, each with their own boards, each with their own administrators. That was the proposal, that we would partner from a distance in that way. But the proposal was rejected by Maranatha Baptist Church, who began a middle school and high school, and they have a K-12 at Maranatha Christian Academy. That means we lost our feeder elementary school, which is very important to the health and the survival of our middle school and high school. We think that's in jeopardy without a feeder. But more importantly, as I highlighted the opportunity, we believe this is an opportunity to reach unchurched families of elementary age children in our community. We also think continuity in education is important. So from elementary to middle school to high school, we think it's important that we partner with parents to fulfill that mission you see on the screen, developing minds to learn, hearts to serve, and souls to cherish Christ. We think the need's urgent. We believe the time is now. And you want to know, what's the price tag? What's it going to cost us? What's it going to take to accomplish a vision like this? I want to call Jason to come. And I've asked Pastor Jason to share a little bit logistically about how do we pull this vision off. So Pastor Jason.
Well, good morning. Morning. It's fun to be up here with you guys. Usually I'm downstairs dancing and having a great time with the kids, but I get to be pulled in to this amazing task. We're already busting at the seams with a waiting list with over 140 kids, and now we want to add an elementary. So where are we going to put them all is the big question. We have Also the other issue of wanting to begin the elementary next fall. So the calendar is very much a challenge as well. So we've considered a number of options. We've already converted room 140 and room 115. Those were rooms in our building that could be used as classrooms that weren't currently, so that has already been done. Other spaces in the church facility really aren't conducive to school classrooms. You've been to ABF classes. You've seen all the materials and desks that have to be in there for that ministry to operate. So you can't just convert closets into classrooms. It just doesn't work. It's not conducive to that style of ministry. So we've considered a number of options within our existing building, from converting the gym into classrooms. Of course, that leaves the problem. What do you do with the gym? And then you could have the opportunity maybe to convert the fellowship hall. Well, then what do you do for a fellowship hall? Also, we looked at possibility of using the garage across the road, converting that into classroom space. Even adding a second story to our current education wing was another idea that was thrown out there. The cons of these different thoughts offered too many challenges to make that possible. Cost, the timeline, and ability to continue to operate not only the school ministry while those kind of projects were happening, but us church ministries as well. We have to balance all the ministries that go on here at the church along with the ministry of the school. Something you've probably thought about sitting there, the obvious answer is you've been to schools, you've seen these mobile classroom facilities set up. So what about the possibility of adding those? And that's just what we began to look at, just what I began to pursue. Not knowing a lot about them, I've gotten some good education on what they are. Many of them, if they weren't brand new, which adds extra cost if you're purchasing a brand new mobile unit, or you are getting a used one, which is more cost effective. What I was running into with the used ones were they were in Ohio or they were in Tennessee, and the cost to transport them that far was astronomical. So begin to see that as a roadblock, but as has been shared this morning, time and time again, the Lord has provided and found that there are actually 2 4 classroom units in Elkview, West Virginia, just north of us, that are coming off lease. They were set there when the Elkview school was flooded 7 years ago, and they are ready to be moved. So this is what they look like. Let's see if I can get, there we go. This is a photo of what they look like. Now, the units that we are proposing getting and bringing here are not the ones in the photos that I'm going to be showing you. The reason being is the ones in Elkview are surrounded by a fence. They are about 7 feet off the ground because they're in a flood zone on very tall piers. And the way they're arranged, it was very difficult to get photos that would be a good representation of what they would be like here at our facility. So I asked the sales rep if he would provide me some photos of some buildings that would be a representation of how they would be set up here. Also, the utilities were cut off at those, so as we were looking at the buildings, it's dark in there, so you couldn't really, all my photos I've took aren't very good quality. So that's the reason why I don't have photos of the actual buildings, but these are exactly like what they are. This one, the colors may be a little different, but this is what one of the buildings look like. You probably pictured, and what I've normally seen is the skinny, long style classrooms. Well, there are all kinds of options for modular classroom units from thousands of square feet. The different pieces that are put together. So these units that we are looking at have 4 classrooms each. They are 64 feet by 55 feet, so they're about 3,500 square feet apiece. There are like I said, 4 classrooms inside this building and 4 restrooms inside the building. So we'd be looking at 2 of those, which would give us 8 classrooms total. They're set up on pillars. As you can see from the seams here, they are in 4 pieces, set on pillars, and about 3 feet off the ground is how they will set. So that's roughly what they'll look like. We put one beside the other. This is a photo of another like building, just to show you what the backside would look like. From this line down, you can see that's where the skirting is. It matches the siding. So that's how ours would look. The siding would go all the way to the ground. So that'd be a very attractive building. The heating and air systems are mounted up on the wall, so they're up out of the way. And then to access the buildings, there would be ramps to each entrance. These are aluminum. Ours would likely be built out of wood just for cost savings. But that's how you would access the facilities. This is a photo of what the inside of the buildings look like. Each classroom is 27 feet by 27 feet. Ample room for 25 plus students in each classroom. As you can see from looking at the photos, they're a very quality building, quality floors. There's 5/8 drywall on the wall, solid doors. They have suspended ceilings, 4-foot lighting fixtures. When you're inside one of these units, you don't feel like you're in a modular building at all. It feels exactly like you're in one of our classrooms downstairs. We were very impressed. I'd never been inside one of them, but I was very impressed with the quality of the buildings. Of course, they have the required fire suppression systems required by West Virginia law. They're also rated for West Virginia weather, so they're energy efficient as required by the state of West Virginia as well. So looking at some further south, that was another cost issue to bring them up to that, which these have already at that rating. This is a drawing of the layout of these buildings and how they would be arranged. It's a little bit dark, a little hard to see the drawing. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to read what that looks like. So I apologize for that. But each building, again, has 4 classrooms. There's a corridor down the center, and then there's a restroom inside each of the classrooms. Well, the thought is to have 6 classrooms used for students. That would give us space for up to 150 additional students in these units. And then one of the rooms would be used as a lunchroom. And then we would take the other room, which, again, I apologize, you can't see the drawing, but there's some extra lines in here, I promise, where there will be some walls built where we'll have an admin area for offices, add a custodial closet so we can keep the buildings clean. So that's the plan to set these up. You can barely see the ramps and awnings that will be connecting between the two buildings for access in and out, as well as from one building to the next. And we have those covered to keep the snow off and make it nice and safe for them to students to go from one building to the other. I'm sure the other thought that you've had, and the one that we've been throwing around too, is where are we going to put them once they get here? So looking at a number of options, this one seems to be the best for us. This is an overhead view of our current facility. This is Halls Ridge Road. Here's the auditorium where we're sitting right now. This big white square is the white roof on the gym. Just out to the east of our building is the lower parking lot. You'll notice this is the green storage building that's out past the church, right out at the soccer field. So we are looking at putting the first building here at this lower parking lot and the next one beside it here. This is a photo if you were standing at where the dumpster is. So this would be, again, that's that green storage building. Here's the lower parking lot. And the first building would begin here and the next one beside it. This area has possible access to utilities, so underground water and sewer. There's overhead power already existing. It would have to be upgraded, but that could be run to the facilities. It would solve the logistical issues of pickup and drop-off, separating the two buildings, and talking with those at the school about the location of them. They really feel like that's going to work well operationally, to have the elementary off to one side and then the high school operating here in our current facility. Let's see. I have one more drawing. I hope, that one's a little easier to see. This is an overhead drawing of those mobile units. You can see this is the lower parking lot here. That green maintenance building is right here. So this is the building set to each other. And then this drawing, it's much easier to see the ramps and walks connecting them to one another. Now, you're probably wondering, what is all that below it? And what does that look like? Well, this is a Vision Sunday, and we have to plan for the future. As I said, these mobile classrooms would give us the opportunity to expand up to 150, possibly more students. So it gives us some room to grow, some wiggle room for the next few years. But what do we do when the Lord continues to provide and the school continues to grow? How do we continue to develop? Well, our thoughts and prayers are to do it in phases. So the first phase would be these mobile classroom units. Second phase would be to begin building a permanent school building in that same area. So next phase would be to add an admin area. This would be a cafeteria, multi-purpose room, kitchen, and storage. And at that point, the two classrooms that they're used for lunchroom and for an admin area can be turned into classrooms, so that would give you more classroom space. The next phase would be to build permanent classrooms. So to the south of this building, as you can see, this would be another phase, an addition onto the building, and the way the ground rolls off would allow those to be two-story. So once those are built, you could house almost 300 students in that area. At that point, the mobile units could be removed and sold, and then we could, with the needs continue, we continue to grow as a school. On this side of the building, we could add another section of permanent classrooms. Also, the plans would include leaving these areas open so elementary playgrounds could be built, fencing around to make sure the kids are protected. And then also the back of the building would be left open on purpose. So in the future, if more expansion is needed, you could go out to the back, build, I don't know, a larger gym, more class space, whatever is the needs as the future and the Lord would lead. For that ministry. And that field in that area also has ample space to add paving so we could have enough parking space around it to accommodate as that facility would be built. So again, this is vision. This is looking way out. But the first phase would be these mobile units to dip our toe in the water to see how the Lord will continue to provide, how He would lead us as a school and how we would grow. That would be the first phase, and then we would begin to pray and look into the future to how the Lord would lead as the needs arise. We would begin by moving the fifth grade class that was mentioned earlier by Dr. Hawks. We'll go ahead and move that class to these mobile units. That would open space in our current facility and would allow those that are on the waiting list come to the school. So these would also allow our high school to grow with students along with the elementary age students. We are looking at purchasing these buildings. There is an option to lease them. But in looking at the pricing, the break-even point is about 5.5 years. So it makes a lot more sense to purchase them than to rent them. And then you have the added benefit if we own them. Once we're done with them, we're thinking, 8 to 10 year range that we'd have those. Then the buildings could be sold, and we could recognize that equity and put that into the school ministry for a more permanent facility. So this is where we're at, where we believe the Lord is leading, and believe it's definitely the Lord's hand over what He's doing here in this special ministry for our children. Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Like I said, everybody's mind at ease here. I'm looking through the doors again. I keep saying this. There's no snow in our parking lot. So we're, praise the Lord. All right. I won't take too much longer here. And of course, I'm the one who's got to deliver the price tag. I got the fun job of delivering the price tag. But it's wise to count the cost, right? Jesus talks about that. Wise to count the cost before entering into a project. But if we're going to be honest this morning, the expansion of Summit Christian Academy is a step of faith. There's just going to have to be some faith involved with this decision-making process. But it's not a blind leap. It's not a blind leap at all. And that's why we started things off with Dr. Hawk's word, because we've already seen God's mighty, invisible, sovereign hand guiding this school and blessing this school in so many ways. We have confidence He'll continue to do so. The pastors, deacons, board, and we've got some bright, bright minds on these boards. I don't want to name all the names and embarrass these individuals, but people in construction, people in finance who understand these things. But have estimated it's going to require a loan, and don't turn me off when you hear the number. Just stick with me a few minutes, because I really do want to have the opportunity to clarify things. But it will require a loan not to exceed $600,000. That would include purchasing the buildings, delivering the buildings, installing the buildings, along with site work, furnishings, and the such. So please hear me out a minute. This is where we just see God continuing to provide for the school without seeking any financial assistance. We didn't ask for a penny for this. The Lord provided some time ago a $125,000 gift from a foundation, and some of that money has been used. The Lord has also provided a $100,000 foundation gift, again, unsolicited, just kind of put it in our lap, and we praise Him for that. We have several generous offers for assistance with the site work, with assistance with the setup of the buildings. So that will cut down some of those expenses. Kind of that number is the worst case scenario. The church, you want to know what kind of health we're in financially. Next week we'll give a full picture. But incredibly, God has blessed our church. A very, very strong finish to 2024. We have $225,000 of unrestricted money, which we praise God for that. If you remember, that number was something like 80. Last time I spoke with you. So God has done some amazing things there to provide for us. The school, you need to hear this too, is operating within budget, very, very healthy, had a surplus with which we could bless the teachers with a Christmas bonus. We have plans within that budget to pay summer salaries so they help fulfill that 12-month contract for our teachers. So we don't end up in the same position, as you know, with some of those other issues we face. So school is in a very, very healthy position. This is like the ideal, and several members of our boards have said this. This is the ideal fundraising opportunity for Summit Christian Academy. It's kind of a ready-made opportunity. It's in education. It's in Christian education. We have a price tag. We have all the logistics worked out. So a ready-made fundraising opportunity. Listen, not just for our church. I know there are people here who want to give towards this and give generously, but also our school family, also our community, and even beyond. Across the nation, we have opportunities because there are people, businesses, there are foundations eager to invest in education in a vision like this. So the goal is to minimize the amount of debt to accomplish our vision. when the dust settles, we honestly believe, and we're not stretching this, we honestly believe it will be far less than that $600,000 number. Let me add this as well. Summit is a revenue-generating entity, right? Our students pay to attend school here. They pay $5,000 approximately a year. We've estimated that 90 students in our elementary would cover not just the operating expenses, like teachers and everything else involved, not just the operating expenses, but also the loan payments. So in other words, Summit Christian Elementary at 90 students could be self-sustaining. And that lifts a big burden off of the church family as well. We thought that was important to share this morning. Until we reach that number, we're going to need some help. We're going to need some assistance from the church. If we don't reach 90 students in the first year at the elementary, an increase a number in our middle school and high school will help offset some of these costs as well. And we really believe the middle school and high school will continue to grow. Jason mentioned this. We'll have equity in the buildings. If this is the Lord's will, that minimizes the risk. Things don't go as planned. Pull the plug, sell the buildings, and cut our costs there. But as I said, we've seen growth, 118 to 144. We've received many. I can't tell you, we've not been able to say anything without church approval. We've received many inquiries about an elementary, and we're just playing dumb over and over and over again. But there is strong interest in an elementary here. We have reason to believe the moment we announce this, if God wills, to the public, we'd have 30 students instantly, and we believe 60 or more, and nothing's impossible with God, right, Dr. Hawks? I would not doubt it if we had 90 students and hit that self-sustaining mark, even in our first year. Based on everything He's done, I believe He could very easily do that. Again, if that's His will, don't want to presume anything. I wish I could give you more details, and I know you want more. We'll give you a little more next week, but we're not going to know the enrollment down to the number, student. We're not going to know the financing down to the penny. The first thing we need is approval, a green light to move forward with the vision. It's a step of faith. Again, we're trusting God who has provided, proven Himself faithful time and time again. The vote will be next week. We wanted to give you the opportunity. We're hoping for 2 weeks. We apologize for just one. We will make this available, this presentation online, available to all our church members who couldn't make it today. But we wanted to have you to have the same opportunity to bathe this in prayer and really to filter it through the scriptures so you can make a wise decision next week in our business meeting when we'll provide some more information. If we get the green light, not being presumptuous, we want God's will. We want your investment. We want your decision making in this. But if this is God's will, we get the green light to begin fundraising, to begin announcing our new school. When we have a clearer picture of those figures, we will come back to the church. We're not going out and getting a loan this afternoon, okay? We'll come back to the church with church approval, with specific terms of a loan and an amount for a loan. So that will be filtered through a voting process as well, likely sometime in March. So again, next week, an opportunity to hear more, opportunity to ask questions. I know some of you have questions. Even between now and then, feel free to ask questions about all of this as well. And we believe this vision is critical for the future of our church. We believe it's critical for the future of our community. I wouldn't be standing here. I'm not blowing smoke. We really believe this is a church growth and evangelistic opportunity that we've not seen in a very long time. I want to close with an illustration this morning. And I think, Ricky, forgive me, I think we'll close with Ricky's prayer this morning and bypass the last song together because of time. But I want to close with an illustration from the book Education Reformation. Touch my heart. August of 2021, the United States withdrew its forces from Afghanistan. You all might remember that. We watched the news as thousands of people crowded the Kabul airport, hoping to escape the Taliban as it regained control of their country. A journalist took a photograph of a father handing his infant daughter. Photograph of a father handing his infant daughter over the wall and into the hands of United States Marine. That little girl's name was Leah. She was 16 days old. Some of you may have seen that picture. Photo became a symbol of the Afghani people's desperation in the face of chaos that engulfed their culture. Over the next several days, Leah's parents escaped and were reunited with their daughter. And Leah's dad was asked about his decision to hand over his baby girl. He said this, "That day I handed my baby to a total stranger. The only thing I trusted was that he was a Marine and that my daughter would be fine." I think about that illustration for just a minute, and these aren't my own words. These come from that illustration in the Education Reformation. Everything was disintegrating. The survival of the family was in doubt. They had nowhere else to go. But the dad saw the uniform of the United States Marines, and he knew that if he could hand his child over to someone wearing that uniform, she would have a fighting chance to survive. We, the neighborhood churches, are the Marines standing on the wall. The culture feels like it's disintegrating. Chaos is all around. Families don't know if they'll survive. We need to be a gospel presence in our neighborhood, inviting parents to bring their children, their marriages, their brokenness, and their hearts, because we can point them to Jesus. We can point them to Jesus. We can give them a neighborhood pastor in a neighborhood church, in a neighborhood building. We can speak the neighborhood language and connect them with a neighborhood school. We can give them a fighting chance. What a beautiful illustration. What an opportunity, an unprecedented opportunity we have here. I'm not twisting your arm. This is God's thing. This is God's will. Please go from here. Bathe this in prayer. Filter it through Scripture. Discuss it as a family. We can come back and talk about it openly again next week. But this is what leadership, this is how leadership feels God is leading. We believe we're seeing what God wants us to see in all of this. And just trying to help you to see the same things this morning. Thank you for your patience with us. We got clear sailing outside still. I'm going to ask Pastor Ricky if he would just kind of dedicate this service, dedicate our business meeting next week to the Lord in prayer. And if you'll join him in your hearts in prayer this morning. And his prayer will dismiss us. Thank you.
Lord, we just come to you this morning, God, and we ask that you would give us wisdom in the midst of decisions that need to be made about the future of our church and the future of our school, our students. God, I pray that you would give wisdom to our school staff and the board, God, and us as pastors, and to everyone in this church that contributes, and to the members, God, we just pray that you would help us to be on the same chord, and just have confidence and trust in you. Give us wisdom as we go forward and direction in the steps that we take, and how to accomplish and fulfill the goals and the visions that we believe are from you. We just pray that you would help us to take the right steps in fulfilling that. God, we just ask for you to continue to bless our school. God, bless the students and their families, and help us to be a blessing to the community, God, and we just pray that you would make the path clear to all of us as a church of what's next. In Jesus' name, amen.